Welcome to A Little Self-Reliant, a podcast designed to help you embrace a bit more self-sufficiency no matter where you're at. I'm your host, Ashley Constance, and my mission is to guide you towards practical and attainable skills to cultivate a more self-reliant life. Whether you live on a farm in the country or a house in the city, I believe that there is something for everyone in the world of self-reliance. If you love soul-centered conversations around growing food, sustainability, modern homesteading, and connection to the land that feeds us, then this is the place for you. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Today is Monday, February 28th of 2022, and this is episode number 7, Getting Started with Cooking from Scratch. Welcome to the last day of February if you are listening to this in real time. That is such an exciting thing for me to say out loud because you know me, I am not the biggest fan of winter. I do love all of the seasons, I really do, but winter is definitely my least favorite, and here where I live in Alberta, it's just a little bit too long. So the fact that it is going to be March tomorrow is filling me with so much joy and hope for the spring season ahead. I do have a quick announcement today, and that is that I have started a Facebook group for the listeners of this podcast. The group is called Living a Little Self-Reliant, and it's an intimate space to share and discuss what you're working on in your pursuit of self-sufficient living. What I am hoping for with this group is that it can be a kind and accepting space where we can share inspiration, ideas, maybe some struggles, and connect with like-minded people who are also on a similar journey to us. If you want to find the group, just search for Living a Little Self-Reliant on Facebook, or you can also check the show notes for this episode because I will also have it linked in there for you. You will have to answer a couple of questions to get into the group, but that's just so that we can weed out the spammers and kind of like the yucky kind of people that we don't want in there because I want to keep this space nice and happy and positive and safe for everybody. I can't wait to chat with you all in there. Okay, a quick little homestead update. We are back into cold and snowy temperatures at the time of this recording. After a nice little break, we did have some lovely weather in the middle of February, but now we are back into the snow and cold, which is fine because it is seasonally appropriate, I guess. But I can feel spring on the horizon, I'm not gonna lie. We have lots of baby plant starts growing in the grow room. We are going to be starting to collect our eggs for incubating and hatching next week, which means that baby chicks will be arriving by the end of the month. We are still working on preparation for our goats, and Sean just picked up the last of the fencing materials for all of that. So once the ground does thaw, we will be able to get to work on building the goat pen, or as we're essentially calling it, the goat fortress, because apparently they are quite the little escape artists. So we're working really hard to make sure that we have everything we need to keep them contained so that they're not running around the farm and eating my garden and running out on the road and all that stuff. We don't need any of that. At the time of this recording, I am actually about to go on a little weekend away by myself. I am going to Edmonton, which may not sound very exciting, especially if you are from Alberta and you've been to Edmonton. You're like, why are you going there? Why are you excited to go there? Well, I will tell you what, it has been well over 2 years since I have left Alberta, and I know Edmonton is still in Alberta. I'm not leaving Alberta, but just with the pandemic and with everything that's been going on, I haven't really gotten out very much. So back in the summer, I took myself just for one night to Edmonton, just for like a change of scenery and just a nice little break away, just me, myself, and I. Sean didn't come with me. And it was so incredibly rejuvenating just to be able to like lay in bed and order room service and watch TV, which is like a huge treat because we don't have cable here. So I get to watch my HGTV, all my like House Hunters shows and all those like total indulgences for me that I don't get to do very often. So that is my plan. I am just going to Edmonton for a little change of scenery. I have no real reason for going up there. I might check out the mall. We'll see though. I don't know. The mall is pretty people-y, isn't it? And I'm not sure if I'm in the mood for people right now, but There's also a beautiful conservatory in Edmonton called the Mutart Gardens. And I have been there once before, a few years back, and it's like this big, beautiful indoor space. I believe there's three or four different like pyramids, and they are filled with just all kinds of different plant life. And I could just wander around there for hours and hours. So that will be my little treat to myself this weekend. And I'm really looking forward to that. We do have a new review to read this week from Apple Podcasts, and this 5-star rating and review comes from Tara Scott. They say, "Love this podcast. It gets me motivated for all the work that is involved in my just starting out homestead, but has lots of relevant information for anyone interested in any level of self-reliance, whether they live in the city or on a farm." Thank you so much for that, Tara. That is exactly what I am going for. I am so stoked to hear that you've taken the step to start your own homestead, and I am wishing you just all the best on that journey, and I hope to keep inspiring you throughout every step. I know how intimidating that can be in the beginning, and my hope with this podcast is that I kind of provide the sort of information that I wish I had when I was starting out. And I mean, I did have this kind of information when I was starting out, but those particular creators either have moved on to other things or aren't creating anymore or whatever. So that is my goal with this show, is just to provide a wide array of information that hopefully resonates with most people who are interested in this kind of lifestyle. Okay, so on to the main topic for today, which is getting started with cooking from scratch. And honestly, at a first thought, this may not seem like much of a self-reliance skill, but I believe that it absolutely is. I think that cooking from scratch is incredibly important, especially if you do want to get into raising any of your own food, whether that's just gardening or whether you maybe dream of getting into raising your own meat someday. Knowing how to prepare the food that you are cooking and growing from the most basic ingredients is an extremely important skill to have. Getting started with from scratch cooking can feel pretty intimidating if it's something you've never done before, especially in a world where we have access to so many gorgeous gourmet cooking feeds on social media. If that's your thing, it's definitely my thing. I absolutely love following those accounts. But if you're brand new to the idea of cooking from scratch, you might find your brain starting to hurt at the mentions of words like braising and deglazing and roux or chiffonade, but please don't freak out. I know it's intimidating, but I am going to help you understand the absolute bare bones basics of cooking from scratch so that you can jump into the kitchen confidently and begin churning out delicious meals for a fraction of the cost of takeout. So why cook from scratch? What even is the point? Well, number one, I believe that it is often the healthier choice, especially when compared to most takeout and convenience options, which are usually laden with a bunch of weird additives that you can't pronounce and a crap ton of added sugar and really low-grade fats and just stuff you don't necessarily want in your diet all the time. You can also make your own choices along the way if you are trying to reduce certain things in your diet, such as carbs, fats, or salts, or maybe someone in your household has an allergy to dairy or an allergy to gluten and you're trying to work around that. Number two is that it is almost always, I would venture to say pretty much always, the cheaper choice. And this is true especially if you cook large batches of the things that you enjoy out of simple ingredients. The only time when it may be more cost-effective to eat out is when it comes to like really niche specific cuisines, such as some Asian dishes. For example, I have tried, and I can guarantee you that I cannot make a bowl of decent Vietnamese noodle soup for less than the $10 that it would cost me to go to my favorite Vietnamese place. So I have decided that that is something I am not going to mess with because they can do it better and they can do it for $10. But generally speaking, it is going to be significantly cheaper to cook at home than it is to be getting takeout all the time or buying convenience foods at the grocery store. Number three, I think it's really fun. I absolutely love dedicating a Sunday afternoon to creating beautiful meals for my husband and I to enjoy. I love to put on a great playlist, tie on my cute little apron, and spend the afternoon sipping on my favorite beverage while chopping, dicing, and sautéing the day away. The reward of eating a meal that you've put together and know exactly what went into it is second to none in my personal opinion. I am also really lucky that I have friends who are super into cooking, and we have been known to get together and just spend hours and hours creating beautiful meals together. So I find it fun, I find it exciting, and it can be really social as well. Number four is that it is delicious and customizable. Once you get the hang of cooking from scratch and you get a few decent recipes under your belt, I can promise you that it will taste way better than anything that you could buy ready-made. Plus, the customization is endless. If you love the pasta sauce that your grandma used to make, but you hate the mushrooms she would put in it, you can just skip them. Or if you've got picky little eaters in your house, you can often hide and disguise vegetables like spinach and zucchini inside some of their favorite dishes for an extra nutrition boost. So that's the why of cooking from scratch, but now we are going to move on to the how. So this is mostly going to be applicable to people who are brand new to the idea of cooking from scratch, but even if you've been cooking for a long time, as always, I think there's probably something that you can learn here as well. So here are the 10 steps to getting started. Number one is stock basic ingredients. Now, the Ukrainian in me wants to tell you that all you really need in your kitchen is onion, garlic, dill, salt, and pepper. I cook a lot with onion and garlic specifically, but in all seriousness, you will want to make sure you always have a few basic essentials on hand. This is going to be things like butter and/or your cooking oil of choice, flour, sugar, salt, black pepper, a well-stocked herb and spice collection, and other basics such as your favorite pasta, rice, and canned goods that you use often. For me, that's things like beans and diced tomatoes. Keep these kinds of things on hand at all times, and it's amazing what you'll be able to create out of just a few basic staples. Number two is get the right tools. Kitchen tools and appliances can get very overwhelming in themselves, and they can also get quite expensive if you try to collect all the things right off the bat. But at an absolute bare minimum, you should have a good set of sharp knives that you like, basic kitchen utensils such as spatulas, ladles, mixing spoons, tongs, whisks, pots, pans, and you'll want to make sure that those things are large enough to accommodate the capacity of the food that you're going to be cooking. You'll also want a good set of mixing bowls, a few cutting boards, and a colander or strainer. When you're ready, you can move into some of the fancier tools and appliances, such as garlic presses, or an immersion blender, or a digital kitchen scale, a stand mixer, etc. But don't let the fact that you don't have the fancy kitchen tool of the day dissuade you from getting started with cooking from scratch in the first place. When I was first starting out, I had nothing but the absolute basics on hand, and I created some incredible meals without any fancy gadgets at all. I am very happy to now have things like my Vitamix and my stand mixer and my immersion blender, but even if I didn't, I would still be churning out really good food day after day in my kitchen. Number three is to hone in on a specific cuisine to avoid overwhelm. So different regional cuisines use different types of ingredients, and unless you want to make multiple trips to the grocery store in the beginning and spend quite a lot of money on some really funky spices and sauces, I would recommend choosing one general type of cuisine to start with. For example, if you choose to start with the North American classics, such as homemade burgers, mac and cheese from scratch, and a really good chicken noodle soup, you're going to find yourself using a lot of things like salt, pepper, garlic, onions, dairy, basic spices that you probably already have on hand, and common vegetables such as peas and carrots. If you're going to dive into Asian cooking, you'll be acquiring ingredients like sesame oil and fresh ginger, soy sauce and fish sauce, and interesting spices like star anise and lemongrass. Learning to cook a variety of dishes with a few basic ingredients first is essential to avoiding total overwhelm. And then once you've got those ones under your belt, you can move on to a different region and kind of acquire those ingredients and then go from there. Number four is start simple. Just like I said in the previous point, starting simple is another key to avoiding overwhelm. Perhaps you don't want to tackle every single recipe in Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking book if you've never diced an onion in your life and if you don't know what the heck a mirepoix is. Focus on a few recipes you know your family will enjoy, and don't put the pressure on yourself to create everything from scratch. You are still allowed to put homemade pasta sauce on store-bought fettuccine. You can still buy burger buns instead of baking them from scratch yourself. It's also okay to use a pre-made stir-fry sauce on your home-cooked stir-fries. There are no real rules, so don't let anyone shame you for using store-bought staples, especially when you're first learning. What you're doing is still worlds apart from hitting the drive-thru on your way home from work for dinner. Number five is learn appropriate substitutions. As you continue to try new recipes, you will inevitably run into ingredients that you either can't find anywhere, especially if you live in a small town like me, or perhaps you don't want to make the trip to the store just to buy a carton of buttermilk or a bunch of fresh parsley. How essential really is that ingredient to the recipe? Perhaps you can substitute it with something else. For example, regular milk with a dash of lemon juice or vinegar will substitute for buttermilk, and in most cases, dried herbs are a perfectly fine substitution for fresh, you just need to use less of them. Before you begrudgingly haul yourself to the grocery store again, do a quick Google and find out what you might be able to substitute that ingredient for. Number 6, make and follow a plan. Have you ever felt personally victimized by a recipe that you didn't read first? I know you can't see me, but I am raising my hand because I am truly the worst for this. Sean makes fun of me all the time because I constantly just jump into a recipe without reading it, and then I find myself in the middle of a crucial step needing something that I haven't yet prepared. This is a good way to ruin a recipe and also to get into a bickering match with your sous chef, which in this case is usually my poor husband. I'm really trying to get better at this, and the best approach I have found is the principles of mise en place, which is a fancy French term that basically just means putting things in their place before you start cooking. So for me, that looks like prepping all my veggies and putting them on a big plate, laying out all the ingredients that the recipe calls for, and sometimes, depending on the recipe and how quickly I need to work, I may even pre-measure everything out so that I can just kind of toss it in the recipe as I go. Following this procedure really helps to eliminate the stress of the actual cooking part because all the hard work of prep is already done for me. I also find it a lot more enjoyable mentally because I'm not like stopping and starting constantly to, dice an onion and then cook. And then I have to like mince my garlic and then I go back to cooking, and it's like all the prep is done and then all the cooking can be done at the same time. Number 7 is stay inspired. And this is one of the biggest struggles that I hear most home cooks talk about, is that they become food bored. This is a phenomenon that I am super familiar with as well, especially when I haven't tried anything new in a while. And if you have kids at home, they may even go so far as to tell you just how bored they are with your cooking and your recipe rotation. Food boredom or cooking burnout is the number one reason why I find myself wanting to eat convenience foods or grab takeout on the way home from work. And while I do love a good takeout Friday night once in a while, I have learned that in order to stay inspired to cook, I need to constantly be exposing myself to food inspiration. I follow a lot of excellent recipe creators and food blogs on social media. I would suggest creators like Half Baked Harvest, Sustainable Cooks, The Dish on Healthy, and The Kitchen. I will link all of these in the show notes as well. And there are also some really wonderful YouTube channels as well. I also do have a beautiful collection of cookbooks that I love because I am one of those people who just loves the feeling of sitting down with a real physical book in my hands for inspiration. And there are also tons of inspiring food and cooking shows on every streaming platform such as Netflix and Crave. It's rare that I'm not motivated to cook after watching an episode of Chef's Table. Number 8 is keep track of your recipes. Whether you use Pinterest, bookmarks on your internet browser, a handwritten family recipe book, or old school recipe cards, keeping track of your recipes is super important. There is nothing worse than trying to remember where exactly you found that perfect chocolate chip cookie recipe or the instructions for that chili that had your kids begging for seconds. Having all of your recipes available in one place is so, so crucial. May I also gently suggest printing off or writing down any favorites that you find online, because the internet can be a crazy place and you never know if you'll be able to find that exact recipe again later. I also like to make notes of little things that I may have tweaked and changed in a recipe, and sometimes I'll write in the margins of my actual cookbook or write on the printed recipe, or sometimes I'll just write a whole new recipe down and stick it in our family recipe binder. Number 9 is get your crew involved. Cooking together can be a super fun activity for couples, families, kids, and even friends, like I previously mentioned. I recently had a freezer meal cook-a-thon with one of my best friends where we whipped up 4 different batch meals to freeze, and we had a blast. It's also been really nice on those crazy busy weeknights to just pop something out of the freezer and heat it up because it was already made. I also love trying new recipes with my husband while we enjoy a glass of wine or a craft beer. Some of my happiest childhood memories are of my dad and I in the kitchen. I remember how excited and proud I felt the first time that he walked me through the step-by-step of cooking chicken fajitas. Many hands make light work, as they say, and this is definitely true in the kitchen. Plus, you're helping to pass valuable skills on to the people that you care the most about, and the feeling of collective pride when that meal is served can be pretty special. I still think of my dad every time that I make chicken fajitas, and I think he would be really happy to know that. Number 10 is go slow. Please, please do not feel like you have to do it all in the beginning. If you are going from eating convenience foods 7 days a week, it's totally unreasonable to imagine that you'll transition into a full roster of gourmet from scratch meals overnight. That's one way to ensure burnout, and it may even lead you to resent the idea of cooking altogether. Instead, try to pick one or two new recipes to try every week and start with easy ones. Make it easy on yourself. You almost definitely will make mistakes along the way, and that's totally okay. Remember my entire podcast episode about how it's okay to suck at new things? That's episode 5 if you need a reminder. Another way to avoid burnout is to make big batches of the meals that you're cooking so that you can freeze half for later or have leftovers for lunch the next day. A little bit of a word of caution here. If you haven't made a recipe before and you don't know if you like it or if your family's going to like it, you may want to avoid making a huge batch of it just on the off chance that it isn't a winner, because I have done that before and then I've been stuck with like a quadruple batch of something that I do not want to eat again. And that is really all there is to it. It is supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be enjoyable and exciting, and it shouldn't stress you out. If it's stressing you out, then try to dial it back a little bit, and remember that you can always add more to your repertoire as you go. Take it easy, have fun, and enjoy the ride. Learning to cook from scratch is one of the greatest skills you will ever add to your self-reliance tool belt. The delicious and nutritious and beautiful food you'll get to eat at the end of your efforts is really just an added bonus. Well, that is all I have for you today. I really hope that this was easy to understand, and I hope that whether you are a brand new beginner to the world of from scratch cooking or whether you've been cooking from scratch for 20 years, I hope you're inspired to go out and find some new recipes and try some new things. Thank you so much for listening, and if you haven't already, please do take a moment to rate and review the show in your podcast player of choice. You can also share the episode on social media or send it to anyone you think may benefit from it. This helps me to get my content into the ears of more people every week, which keeps me motivated and inspired to keep creating for all of you. I am still on a bi-weekly schedule with the podcast, so we will be back in mid-March with another new episode. And until then, take care. Stay warm, cook some awesome food, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to A Little Self-Reliant. I hope you learned something or felt something or maybe even gained some inspiration to try something new. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram at A Little Self-Reliant, or you can follow our homesteading adventures under the handle Dirty Paws Homestead. You can also visit alittleselfreliant.com to see the blog post and show notes that accompany this episode. And until next time, remember, we may not be able to do everything, but a little self-reliance goes a long way.